So we're going to talk about banners this morning. You know, ships fly flags or banners to show nationality, signal messages to each other, identify ownership. Every country has its own flag, as well as every state. But in ancient armies, they carried banners that served as marks of identification and as symbols, like a flag. It was something that could be seen from long distances. Unlike fabric flags, ancient banners were usually made out of wood or metal and shaped into various figures or emblems that could be fastened to a staff or a long pole. A banner carried at the head of an army or planted on a high hill served as a rallying point for troops before battle or as an announcement of a victory already won. For example, on February 23rd, 1945, on a small volcanic island in the Pacific, six exhausted Marines raised an American flag atop Mount Suribachi on an island called Iwo Jima. Three of the six would be killed before the battle ended. To capture this small 4 2/3 mile by 2.5 mile island was imperative at the time during World War II. But the raising of our flag atop of this hill gave hope to the Marines fighting on the beaches below. So much so, you could hear cheers erupting when they saw the flag. Ships anchored offshore blew their horns. In Psalms 60, verses 3 and 4, it says, "Thou hast shown thy people hard things. Thou hast made us to drink the wine of astonishment. Thou hast given a banner to them that fear thee, that it may be displayed because of the truth." Selah. Although God has shown his people hard things in verse 3 and made them to drink the wine of astonishment, yet he has given a banner to his faithful ones, those who reverence and respect him as an emblem of victory. Jesus Christ is given as the banner to those that fear God. In him they take courage. In his name and strength they wage war against spiritual wickedness. In the Song of Solomon, chapter 6, verses 4 and 10, in these two verses, you see Solomon refer to the Shulamite to be as terrible as an army with banners. In verse 4, he says, "She is as beautiful as Tirzah and comely as Jerusalem." Tirzah was the fifth daughter of a great-grandson of Joseph. Tirzah was also a city in Palestine known for its beauty. Jerusalem, according to Psalm 48:2, says, is beautiful, the joy of the whole earth, the city of the great king. Solomon likened his fair lady to those cities because Tirzah and Jerusalem were famous for their beauty and grandeur. She would delight him to the uttermost because no one could be compared to her. Our heavenly bridegroom calls the full overcoming saints his love. He compares them to royal cities because of their beauty and grandeur. Kings reigned in those renowned places. So Christ reigns in the lives of the full overcomers. They are lovely and beautiful to him. But he still sees her as an awe-inspiring, victorious army with banners. In verse 10, you see, "She looketh forth as the morning, fair as the moon, clear as the sun." She looketh forth as the morning because her heart is light and her face is bright, with the thrilling expectation of reigning with her bridegroom. Fair is the moon because the bride is fair, because she beholds the face of the fair one in glory. She becomes changed from beauty to beauty by gazing upon him. And clear as the sun, here is a beautiful and wonderful unfolding of her beauty intensifying from astonishment to grandeur and from grandeur to awe. And as in chapter 6, verse 4, she is seen terrible as an army with banners. The word terrible means awe-inspiring. She reminded her bridegroom of an army with banners, parading with colors flying. She proved herself prepared to be the king's bride. As we are overcome by the love of Christ and walk in the Spirit, so we altogether overcome all the world in us and about us. We actually make everything serve us for Jesus' sake. We are truly terrible. He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. This is the point of this morning, Song of Solomon 2:4. The name of the Lord is a shelter from the storm. He is a house of wine to the one. Who takes his shade and fruit and rest. We become intoxicated with his every presence, his banner over us. Spangled with grace, peace, and kindness is love. His banner over us is love. The Shulamite needs to be seen as terrible as an army with banners, because she needs to plant her banners of victory over spiritual wickedness and the things of this world that would hinder us. But Jesus has conquered us with his banner of love. The Shulamite responds by saying, she is lovesick in verse 5. And then in verse 6, she tells how his left hand is under my head and his right hand doth embrace me. He lavishly fills us with his love and covers us with his most affectionate caresses. It is God's mysterious appointment that we should be lost in each other's devotion. Jesus has conquered us with his banner of love.